Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It's great to be with you this evening. I'm excited to bring God's word. I'm excited for the baptisms and what an exciting night it is for Daniela and Ava. And I'm pumped to see you guys make that commitment. What a great song that we just sung. You can have it all. And declaring that in the baptism tack, you can have all of me, all of my life. And I'm excited to get into that as well. But I'm particularly excited for tonight's word. It's a word that has been on my heart for quite a while now. And I think it ties in perfectly to the word this morning as well. If you were here at church this morning, it flows on well from that. So hopefully you're ready, you're hungry, you're excited for the word as well, and ready to transform your heart tonight, to continue to transform your heart to be more like God's heart, more like the heart of God tonight. So let's pray as we start. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to come here, to put everything else aside and say, God, you can have it all. You can have all of us. And so, Father God, right now we humble ourselves. Lord God, let us be vulnerable before your throne tonight. Change what it is you need to change. Challenge what it is that you need to challenge within us tonight. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Are there any baseball fans tonight? Anyone that follows baseball at all? I cannot see a single hand. Isn't that remarkable? No one. It's not big in Australia. I don't blame you. But I am a Red Sox fan, Boston Red Sox. Anyone heard of them? Yeah, great. Great. That's one win. I have their clothing, but I'm not a big fan. I couldn't tell you one player. Obviously, in Australia, cricket is a much bigger sport than baseball. But I do like watching it every now and then. And there's this place in baseball and some forms of cricket, like the 2020, called the dugout. Has everyone heard of the dugout? Looks like this. It's basically where you go when you're not doing anything. And you just sit down there. Now, cricket and baseball is a funny sport in that pretty much half the time that you're playing these sports, you can be doing absolutely nothing and just spending your time in that dugout. And you just sit there. And baseball and cricket can be a really harsh game as well. I used to play a fair bit of cricket, and I experienced this a lot, where sometimes you could wait all day, you could wait 6 hours. And particularly if you're batting in the lower order like I often did, you get out there and you finally get your turn and then you go out first ball and you walk straight back to the dugout again. And it's a terrible feeling. You get back to all the teammates in your team and they kind of just, particularly when you've gone out first ball, they often are just silent, dead silent. You just walk past them and they're almost waiting for you to throw the bat down or throw your pads or something, which I never did, ever, I'm sure. However, contrary to the way it may seem, the player's dugout actually has a role to play when you're in that section. There actually is still a role to play when you're there. And although you aren't in the action, it's not your time to pitch, it's not your time to field, it's not your time to bat, it is your time to support. You're still required to be engaged in the game when you're in the dugout. Teammates rely on the support of their team in the dugout to keep them going, to lift their spirits, to encourage them when they're successful, to talk strategy when they're not in the game. And you see, although the dugout is not where you want to be, you'd prefer to be in the action, your responsibility is still critical to the success of the team. And tonight I want to look at Jeremiah 29 in this light. Many would know the popular verse of Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And I love this verse. It's a wonderful one to memorize, to write on your heart, and to speak over yourself. But I actually think it can represent even more to us when we understand everything that is going on around this verse. And whilst we unpack this book, we're going to see God's intention for us in the life seasons and moments where we are in the dugout as opposed to where we initially wanted to be. We are going to see how God sends us into the dugout to play our role for the glory of his team, for God's glory as he outworks his plan for us and humanity in our life. So I've titled this message, Into the Dugout, Into the Dugout. We're going to start off tonight by actually winding back the clock to Deuteronomy 30. That's where the story kind of begins. And at this time, Moses is leading the Israelites in the wilderness and has a word from God for the Israelite people. It says this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 to 18, if you wanted to follow along in your Bibles. "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. And for those that know the stories and the chapters that follow that, it follows wayward kings after that and leaders and Israelite people as the Israelites rebel against these warnings despite it all. And they broke the commandments. They worshipped other gods and allowed themselves to drift further and further from God. Their current circumstance basically looks like this guy here. I've got a video. They lost track of where they were. That's one of the videos that I can just watch all day on repeat, and I think it gets funnier every time. But as a result of the Israelites forgetting where they were, forgetting where they needed to focus their attention, like that fisherman, they lost sight of what was truly important. And as a result, God handed the Israelites over to Babylon like he said he would in Deuteronomy 30. So in Jeremiah 29, a prophet of God, Jeremiah, is communicating a letter to the exiles, a letter at the beginning of their exile period of 70 years to Babylon. And being exiled isn't exactly a term in which we hear much of in Australia, unless you're watching Survivor. Are there any Survivor fans out here? You'd know that being in exile is not a place that you want to be, ever. It's not a good thing. But you can't say the Israelites weren't warned. Back in Deuteronomy 30, God says, I set before you life and death. The Bible is clear, even to us now, in warning us that there are consequences to our actions, for good or for bad. Have you ever done something and received a punishment and then thought, that was probably fair for what I did? Anyone? Anyone willing to admit? No? A few people? My first car was a 1995 VN Commodore. I bought it for $200. It was a beast of a station wagon. At the time, it was actually known by people as the Swaggon, which was a cool thing to say back then. And it had done 550,000 kilometres. It had seen better days, it's fair to say. But there's a certain connotation and reputation that comes with you when you have a VN Holden Commodore. It was considered that you were a bit of a bogan if you had one of these cars. And I actually went a step further and had one of my mates help me connect up these big speakers that would sit in the back seat. And I had this Commodore. I actually parked it in the street. I had these big speakers in the back seat. And so you could pretty much say I was asking for trouble. And before too long, this happened, where someone happened to break in, take my speakers, which were worth all of about $50. They weren't great. But honestly, I deserved it because I'd left it out in the street. I'd left the speakers all there and easy to see. And this, I had it coming. And the Israelites, like me, are about to get what they are asking for. As it says in Deuteronomy 30, that as the Israelites' hearts turned from God and were disobedient, they would, as a result, lose the land and enter the Babylonians, basically the Collingwood Football Club of the time. Big, bad, ugly, no one really likes them. And the Israelites are consumed by them. And this is where our key passage for tonight comes in. We're going to start simply with Jeremiah 29, verse 4. It says this: This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And I intentionally want to pause there. I know it's so short into the story, but it's so important. At the very least, we can all see that we live in a broken world. But God actually says here, he says, I carried you into exile. And where it once felt like you might have been in control, where it once felt like you might have been in Jerusalem, we can find ourselves in Babylon. We can find ourselves in there. And we all face, at times, our own form of exile from time to time. Times in our life where things are just tough. It can be emotionally, physically, spiritually. And where you once felt like you had it in control, it can get more difficult. And as Christians, we can sometimes get into the trap of thinking, well, because life isn't turning out the way that I intended, my health might be taking a turn, my job is at a dead end, my loved ones perhaps have drifted from God, and I can't possibly be where God wants me to be right now. The enemy clearly has a stronghold on my life if this is where life is at. And I had a really clear picture at this point for us, and is that God is not saying to the Israelites at this moment, he's not saying, okay, for 70 years I'm going to let go of the Israelites and hand them over to the enemy. Satan is now in control of them and I'll check out back in with them in 70 years' time. But what it says in Jeremiah 29:4 is that God says to all these people, I carried you into exile. Instead of letting go, God carries the Israelites into exile and goes with them. It might feel like Satan has got a hold of a situation or a circumstance, but know that actually God is with you in the midst of it all. God reigned over the Israelites' time in exile under the Babylons, and he is there in the midst of your journey today. God carries them into exile. Another point from this verse that sometimes is that sometimes God doesn't keep us from the storm. Instead, he carries us into them. I like the term carry. See, if you and I saw a storm in the distance, there is no way we would voluntarily walk into it. A bit like this. If you saw that tornado over there, there's no way that you would voluntarily walk straight into the tornado. And that's why God actually has to sometimes carry us into them. Our family took a trip to Queensland a few years back when I was about 16 years old. And as can sometimes happen in Queensland, there was a big, giant storm. And we were actually on our way home to catch a flight, and we went through this place called Gympie. And it was a very small town, and there were limited roads out, and they all actually flooded, and we were trapped in this town. And we were stuck, and we went to a real estate, a travel agent, I think they're called, walked in, and we were looking for some accommodation, and she said, there's nothing. We couldn't stay anywhere, so we were threatened, all five of us, to stay in the car. And she actually said, you can come home and stay with us tonight. So she took us back, and her husband gave us all beds, and we stayed there the night. And the next morning, we actually ended up getting woken up at like 5 a.m., and they said, look, you've got 15 minutes. The water's just gone down. It's about to go back up again, but there's this secret road. Let us take you out of the storm. And so we got our things together. We made our way out of the storm, and although it wasn't convenient for us to stay that extra day, to this day, my parents still have a relationship with that couple. And although we were doing everything that we could the night before to get out of the storm, because we were stuck in it, godly influences were brought into their life. God doesn't just throw us into exile or into the storm or into the dugout to teach us a lesson. He does it to bring glory to him and his kingdom. It may not be the most comfortable or the easiest season in our lives, but know that God is not a judge. He is God. And part of being God means that he is all-knowing, as Nick mentioned this morning. He is omniscient and has put you in a circumstance or season for a purpose. And if you let him, he wants to use your storm for his glory. So I've got 4 points that I want to share tonight. And the first one is this, is God carries us in the exile. The next part of the passage is in Jeremiah 29, verse 5. To 7, and it says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. In other words, don't stop living because you were in a dugout or a storm. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So point number two tonight I want to make is seek peace and prosperity in the exile. Seek peace and prosperity in the dugout. Matthew 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God. Is it possible that God has placed you somewhere that you don't want to be, in order to see prosperity in your surroundings, in order to see God glorified to the people that may not have otherwise encountered him? Is it possible that you're currently in a circumstance that you don't want to be in, but is required to bring peace and prosperity into the lives through your testimony of others. We live in a state full of people that haven't encountered God's truth for their life. We live in a state where crazy illogical laws are being passed in a secular government. We are alive at this time in this location to seek peace and prosperity to a lost state and to a lost community. God says to seek peace and prosperity in the city I have carried you into. So what does that look like? It says in Jeremiah 29 verse 7, it says, pray to the Lord for it. So firstly, we need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray in all circumstances, give thanks and rejoice in all circumstances. We are called as followers of God to live a life in relationship with Jesus, to pray without ceasing, to pray over our struggles, to bring them before him, but also, and importantly, God says in Jeremiah 29:7, not to just pray for themselves, but to pray prosperity over Babylon. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. We should never neglect to pray for the people around us. Pray prosperity even for those that we don't always get along with. Pray prosperity over the people that have hurt us. That can be a hard thing. It can be such a hard thing to do, to pray for the people that have hurt us. But it's clear in this passage, the truth is, there is so much truth in pray to the Lord for those people, because if they prosper, you too will prosper. The Babylonians didn't deserve prosperity, and yet God wanted to bless the Israelites through blessing the Babylonians. I think it's important to note as well that sometimes when we are going through a storm, when we're going through something that's tough, we can become so consumed by our problem that we neglect to consider and pray for those around us as well. It would have been easy for the Israelites at this time to pray that God would release them back to Jerusalem straight away and pray for their own needs. And yet God instructs them to pray for the Babylonians. So consider, who do you need to pray for tonight? Another thing which seeking peace and prosperity looks like is that we need to aim to reflect Christ in the way we live. Is there a greater compliment to hear in your life than when people turn to you and go, there's something different about you, there's something different about that person? I've got a video which I thought was amusing around good different. Why don't we watch that? Thanks, Cayman.
What a look at this.
Crushed tomato and basil.
Diced tomato and basil.
Crushed tomato and fresh basil. Whole tomato and basil. Italian tomato and basil. Basil tomato and basil.
Puree tomato.
Dad! Whoa! Where have you been?
Don't waste your life in the sauce aisle. Unlike other supermarkets, Aldi only stocks the best, so you save time and money. That's good different.
Did you get that? The sun came in afterwards? Because that is literally me in the shopping aisles when you're looking. I feel like I'm turning into an old man and it takes so much time. But people can be searching their whole life for something different, and you could be the one to show it to them by the way you live. John 1:14 says that Jesus came in grace and in truth. And there's a lot of alignment I see between peace and prosperity and grace and truth. There's a similar message there and a similar theme. When you approach someone with grace, it shows that you love them, that you care for them, that you're willing to listen, that you're willing to journey through life with them, and you promote peace in your relationship by doing these things. But we also know that you can show grace to someone, get along really well with them, and yet without the truth of God's word and perspective, there's going to be no eternal prosperity. It's like you've run three bases in baseball. You get to the third one and you just stop. You're short by one thing, and that's the truth of God. The truth in how we are to walk in our faith. The truth of the Bible consuming every part of your life. That's prosperity. So we need to live out both grace and truth to see peace and prosperity. God's heart is for us, just as it was for the Israelites. But when we are in the dugout, surrounded by darkness, God's heart is also for the Babylonians. God's heart is to see those who are searching, those who are lost, the people who are around us to be reached in the midst of the storm. So point two is seek peace and prosperity. Jeremiah 29 goes on in verse 8, it says this, "Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." And so point number three in the dugout is this, don't get sucked in. When you're surrounded by darkness in a dark situation, you can either stand out in the light or fit in and become part of the darkness. You can either allow the emotion of the storm to consume you or stand firm in your faith. Matthew 5, verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Do not conform and lose your saltiness. Testing environments, testing circumstances can test your faith. So ask yourself, how is your faith right now? Is it circumstantial? When you're placed in the dugout or in exile, where you don't want to be, is your faith affected? Are your biblical standards compromised? Are you so tense that when life throws you a curveball, your faith bursts? Or is it flexible enough to say, "All right, God, use me here. Use my testimony here." And you know, in baseball, pitchers, they can throw up to 160 kilometers an hour, some even faster than that. And if you were to consider what bat you use, a lot of science goes into these bats. Same with cricket. You've got to pick out the specific bats, because when they're coming at 160 kilometers an hour, it's important that you have the right bat. If you were to use an inflatable one and someone went at 160 kilometers per hour, it would just snap in half. But this thing, the thing with a solid bat, is that the faster the ball is pitched, the faster and further it goes off the bat. The more power comes off the shot. When we have a strong faith, the harder the curveball, the harder the circumstance, the more powerful its implications are for God's kingdom when we use it for God's glory. But we must remain strong in the faith. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And as I was considering this verse, I was thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who not long after this passage are three of the very few Israelites left to not conform to the darkness that was around them, to not bow to the God of the Babylonians, but to stand firm in their faith. Three guys who listened to God's words here in Jeremiah, who didn't get sucked in, and as a result, they brought glory to God through their actions. There are places in our life where it can be lonely to live and have faith, to be the only one living in biblical principles. And I've spent time in football clubs in my life where there's a darkness in the culture a lot of the time and in behavior. And I had a mate who played footy with me, and he found out early on that I didn't drink, and he also didn't drink. And he said to me, "That's great. I thought I'd be the only guy in this club who didn't drink, so we can support each other in that." And in many football clubs, drinking and getting drunk is unfortunately just part of socializing and getting to know each other. And we played a couple of seasons together, and we didn't touch a drink. However, when I left the club and got in touch with him later on, he'd conformed to drinking, made poor decisions, and become a version of himself that he didn't want to be. This guy wasn't a Christian, but the same principles apply. It can be difficult to remain firm in your faith when you're the only one. When things around you seem to be going pear-shaped, when everyone else is at work and school and uni, and they're doing things that you feel as though you just have to do to conform to what they're doing and be a part of things. But when God sent the Israelites into Babylon, when God sends us into these circumstances, he doesn't send us to join the darkness. He sends us to stand out and bring redemption. You see, even when we feel alone as followers of God, we never are. And this leads into our final point and our final passage of the scripture. In verse 10, it says this, and this is an exciting passage, and many of you will be familiar with it. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So the final point is this. Take a step back and look up. When we're in the dugout, when we're in the storm, when we're in exile, take a step back and look up. Our God is a sovereign God. He is all-knowing and has a plan not just for your life, but for the world. And although it may have felt at the time like God was simply dumping the Israelites as a punishment or as a timeout, you know, it might have seemed like he was saying, sit here for 70 years and I'll come back and I'll pick you up when your time is up. That's not what he does. He never leaves them. He journeys with them every step of the way, and he sees them through the difficulty. Even when you feel alone in the storm, the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you go. God's heart is not to see you in pain or see you struggle, but God's heart is to see you bring glory to him through the difficulty. To go into the dugout and bring light to that place or out of that circumstance in your life. I know that I don't know your story tonight fully, and I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through tonight individually, but what I do know is that God does. And his word, the truth of the Bible, the truth of the Holy Spirit is the same for you as it is for me. God wants to bring healing, restoration, a life, a testimony, and more people to him through your storms. Romans 8 verse 28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So that final point, to take a step back and look up. Many of us have been to Sky High in Mount Dandenong, and it's a special place for Holly and I. It's where we started going out as boyfriend and girlfriend. It's where I proposed to her. But if you simply just stayed in the car park, for those that have been, it looks like this picture here, where you can just kind of see trees. Everyone know what I'm talking about if you've been to Sky High? You actually have to take a step back and then look up to see the view in all its splendor, to see everything. You need to actually take a step back and look up. In the heated moments of our life, it can be hard to stop, to take a breath, to take a step back and to look to God's perspective. We can get so lost searching through the trees, looking for everything to be resolved in the here and the now. But Jeremiah 29 verse 12 and to 13 says, then you will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. It often takes years to understand what God's plan was for us in the dugout. Sometimes we don't even see it. But I think one of the great joys and one of the exciting things for us as followers of God is that in eternity we get to step back and look at God's grand story from the perspective of eternity and seeing the outworkings of God working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's what we have to look forward to. That is what we aspire to. That is our perspective that we are called to have here on earth. And church, I know it's easy to stand here and say this to you now, but it's a whole other ball game when we get thrown the curveballs in life out there. But there are key principles, reminders in the Bible, like this story, that we take with us and know that the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way. So remember and hold on to the fact that God is with us and in control. He sometimes carries us into the dugout, into exile, to see him glorified. He has called us to bring peace and prosperity to those in our life and those surrounding it. He calls us to stand firm and don't get sucked into the emotions, the feelings, the social norm, but to stay true to his word. And when we're looking at our circumstances in the moment, he calls us to take a step back and consider his eternal perspective through it all. For the heart of God is to see you bring glory in and out of the dugout. And I had a picture, which I just want to share as well, right before this, where God was reaching into the darkness and pulling us back into the light. And whilst you went down alone, whilst we went down alone, you came out and you pulled another person. And as you continued to pull, there was someone holding on to the next person and onto the next person and onto the next person. And that's the picture that I want you to remember when you're in the dugout, is that you are called to go in. You might be feeling like you're going in alone, but God is going to pull you out. He's there with you through the storm. And he actually asks you to bring glory in the darkness. So I want to pray now and perhaps just take a moment where you are tonight. You might be in the midst of it right now. You might know someone that's in the midst of it right now. Or perhaps things are good, but we live in a world that is broken. And this is a relevant thing for all of us to consider, challenge ourselves on, to bring light in the darkness. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that since the beginning of time, you have been with us, with your people, and you have loved us. And Lord God, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for the fact that despite the Israelites giving a great picture of turning away from you, turning their hearts from you, you pursued your people throughout all of time, and you continue to knock on the door. And Father God, right now, we surrender ourselves to you. We surrender our circumstances to you. And Lord God, we lay them at your feet tonight and say, God, have your way in my life. Lord God, you can have it all. You can have my emotion. You can have my struggles. You can have my sin struggle. You can have the baggage that I'm carrying. You can have the things, the gods that I've put in front of you. Lord God, have it, because all we want is you, Jesus. So Father God, as sometimes the storm gets hard and life gets hard and the challenge to us is put before us, Lord God, we pray that we would have your Holy Spirit strengthen us in those moments, strengthen us in those times to see what it is that you are wanting to do in and through us in those moments and in those challenging times. So Lord God, have your way tonight, we pray. Amen. Amen.